Your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 2. 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to read the first 7 verses together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 2 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 7 together, and we'll read this passage responsively. 2 Samuel 2, verses 1 through 7. And it came to pass after this that David inquired of the Lord, saying, Shall I go up into any of the cities of Judah? And the Lord said unto him, Go up. And David said, Whither shall I go up? And he said, Unto Hebron. So David went up thither, and his two wives also, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, Nabal's wife the Carmelite, and his men that were with him did David bring up, every man with his household, and they dwelt in the cities of Hebron. And the men of Judah came, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah. And they told David, saying, that the men of Jabesh-Gilead were they that buried Saul. And David sent messengers unto the men of Jabesh-Gilead, and said unto them, Blessed be ye of the Lord, that ye have showed this kindness unto your Lord, even unto Saul, and have buried him. And now the Lord show the kindness and truth unto you, and I also will requite you this kindness, because you have done this thing. And let's finish on verse 7. Ready? Therefore now let your hands be strengthened, and be ye valiant, for your master Saul is dead. And also the house of Judah hath anointed me king over them. And let's pray. Father, sure do need you this morning. Lord, we all need you. I pray that in a special way, I would have the attention of your people, that I would have the attention of the Holy Spirit in my life so that I could help your people. Lord, so many of us have gone through, so many of us will face this year what we'll preach today. I pray that you would work through me in a special way in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to start by saying something a little unusual, but I believe this. You'll learn more by listening than you will by writing. If you'll give me your attention today, I'm not saying if you get a little thought, write it down, but too many people try to take notes and you miss everything. If you'll just listen and pay attention, God will be able to help you this morning in a special way. That is my goal. My goal is to help you. Let me bring you up to speed. In 2 Samuel, you have at the end of 1 Samuel and the beginning of 2 Samuel, you have the record of King Saul and his son Jonathan being killed in battle. They're at war with the Philistines, and both King Saul and Jonathan are killed. David, if you remember, had been anointed years before as a teenage boy as king, but he did not take the throne. Said he wouldn't lift his hand against God's anointed and kill Saul and take the throne. He would wait for God to have Saul die. And at that time, then, David chose, by deference, to wait to become king. Now, he is here in chapter 2 officially pronounced and anointed as king of Judah. Now, let me say this. You have to understand. Everybody was sad because their leader was dead. We have watched that take place in our country. Many of you, some of you are old enough to remember when President Kennedy was shot and killed. I was not alive yet, but Wiley was, but I wasn't. but anybody that was alive could tell you where you were. It was a traumatic event. I remember in 1980 or 81 when President Reagan was shot. Now, he did not die. He was just millimeters from death. But I remember when John Hinckley pulled out a gun and shot him. And I remember I was in school and they said, look, the president's been shot. We don't know if he's going to live or not. And I remember there was that eerie spookiness over the whole country. Kind of like it was on 9-1-1, that there's just an evil spookiness that goes with that. I remember the news accounts of they were taking President Reagan into the hospital to be operated on, and he looked at the surgeon and said, he said, "Are you a Republican?" If you remember. And he said, "Mr. President, today we're all Republicans." Amen. By the way, that's back in a time when America had some patriotism. Yes. By the way, the man was not a Republican, but he did vote for the president the next time. That was just the way things were. Can you imagine having the king be killed in battle? How Israel must have felt. Now, everyone was sad when the leader died. Now, Saul was not a perfect man, and at times he was evil, but I'm going to make a statement here. He was not corrupt to the children of Israel. He was evil towards David. He was evil towards wanting power, but he was not evil in reference to being this sinister person to the children of Israel. David now begins his reign as king of Israel here in chapter 2. He begins to set up his kingdom, his household, in a city called Hebron. Now, I realize in a little while he sets up the city of Bethlehem as his hometown and Jerusalem as the capital, but at this time he decided to go to Hebron and set up as king. He moves his family into the palace, but David doesn't come ready to kill the old regime. This is in a time where when somebody else took the throne, usually they came in and anybody that had any relation to or potential to the throne, they just killed out everybody. Man, woman, and children. They would just go in and obliterate them all so that there wasn't any challenge to the throne. David decides not to do this. And matter of fact, he is especially good to the men of a place called Jabesh-Gilead. Now, that's a funny name. But Jabesh-Gilead is a place where the men saw, and you have to understand something, they gathered the bodies of Saul and Jonathan. They risked their lives to go get those bodies, and I'll go into that in a moment. And they brought them back from the land of the Philistines to care for their bodies and take care with some respect and bury them. David sees how disheartened these men are due to having, A, lost their king, and B, handling the bodies of the leaders that they loved. I don't think you understand. I remember what it was like when my preacher, Brother Hiles, died. I remember being there when they brought the casket into the auditorium. I was there. I was there when, and I was privileged to stay back a few rows from the family when they got to see the body in the auditorium for the first time. I walked Mrs. Hiles in from outside. As she held onto my arm, and I walked her into the rest of the family, where she viewed the body of her husband of over 53 years. I remember the weeping. I remember for the next 26, 27 hours, somewhere in the neighborhood of 75 to 100,000 people fled, walked through that auditorium to view that man's body. A steady stream of people for 27 hours. I remember being a pallbearer. I remember when the second funeral was over and we stood and we received the casket, put it on the wheels to wheel it out. One of the special needs men. "No, you can't take my preacher. Bring my preacher back." Ooh. I remember going out to the hearse and picking up his casket, putting it into the hearse for the last time he'd ever be at that building. I know how disheartened I was. They loved their leader Saul. They didn't think he was perfect, but they did love him, and now they're facing a leadership change. You talk about instability. Not only are they grieving, but they know they're going to go through a leadership change. David is wise enough to see the need of these men in Jabesh-Gilead to heal. He didn't look at these people as animals and say, well, they'll just fall in line, do whatever I say, I'm the boss, doesn't matter how they feel. David was not so focused on his own success that he didn't care about the feelings of others. Let me say that again. David wasn't so focused on his own success that he did not care about the feelings of others. We see the great leadership of David as he takes time to heal the people through a tragedy and difficult time. You have to understand. These men of Jabesh-Gilead didn't just lose their king, they saw the butchered bodies. The Philistines cut Saul's head off. They were dealing with Saul's body in two pieces. You can say how tough you think you are till you've seen a decapitation. That's a whole different world. They've seen the bodies desecrated by the Philistines. Their bodies were literally hung against a wall and tacked to a wall, and people were able to do whatever they wanted to do as they passed by those bodies. Imagine they were spit on and hit, desecrated. These men fought their way through the enemy, captured those bodies, took care of them, and fought their way back out so that they could bury those bodies and handle them with the right respect that they deserved. They're hurt. They're angry. And I think I could use this word appropriately. They were traumatized. As well as they know they face a new leader in King David. David takes the time they need to heal up. They're good men. And he gives them the tools with which to heal through this tragedy. Today, I want to give you those tools. Today, I want to show you what God gave David to give to the men of Jabesh-Gilead to get through the tough days, the tragedy, the heartache, the grief. Everybody look at me for just a moment. 2017, there are people in this room, you lost loved ones. How many in this room lost a loved one this year? Raise your hand. I know there's probably half a dozen of you, for sure. You can put your hands down. I did. There are people in this room, tragedy has come. Heartache has come. And may I say this, 2018 isn't going to be any different. After 50 years of life, I've learned one thing. It doesn't change. Somebody asked me the other day, and I don't remember who, doesn't matter. And I'm not even sure I remember the exact connotation of it all. But apparently the person that started this Black Lives Matter movement died this week. Young person, 27 years old. Someone said, how is it that somebody that young could die, apparently a heart attack? And I made the statement, and I think I surprised them. And honestly, I don't remember who it was. Was it you, Joe? Yeah. All right. He had that stupider grin on his face, so I figured that's who it was. But I made the statement, God did not make man to be evil in sin. And that is why sin and evil is hard on people. God did not make us to be that way. And the more sin you get in, the more evil you get in, the harder you make your life while you're here. And it is hard. By the way, none of us are happy that person died. Barring them getting saved, they're burning in hell right now. I wouldn't want that on anybody. Not even Hillary. Today, I want to show you how to get through these tough times. You're going to face them. You're going to face heartache this year. You're going to face death this year. You're going to face possible tragedy this year. And young people, those of you that are young teenagers in here, and can I tell you something? You think you're invincible, but you're not. No, sir. It comes to everybody. Let me show you what God gave David and how he helped heal these men of Jabesh-Gilead. Number one, I love this. Look at verse number 6. And now the Lord show kindness and truth unto you. First thing is kindness. Kindness. Brother Hiles used to make a statement, be good to everybody because everybody's having a tough time. Can I tell you something? We live in a rude, nasty, bitter world. We don't understand what kindness really, really is. When people hurt, face trauma, face grief, face death, we need to show them kindness. Did you know just because you're not having a tough time that somebody is doesn't give you the right to stomp on them when they're hurting? You know, Brother Stoltz, stand up here for a second. If he put his thumb out there and smacked it with a hammer, and he says, Brother Bush, I smacked my thumb with a hammer, I'm not supposed to say, that one? That's the way most people live. That's the way husbands and wives treat each other. You know what nerve is raw, so you decide to do something and add to it. Amen? You can have a seat. Smack your thumb later, all right? Don't suck on it, though. You know, when somebody's hurting, show kindness. Yes, sir. Did you know that you can show kindness to somebody that doesn't even like you? Yep. Now we went to preaching, didn't we? We live in a world that's all about me. Did you know that person that does not like you loves someone and is loved by someone? I will use the obvious to illustrate the ridiculous. Even somebody loves Hillary. Other than Hillary. You know, she's got grandchildren. I'm sure that love their grandmother. Did you know that not every fiber of her body is bad and evil? Now, it's close. It's close. But she does love some people, and she is loved by some people. Now, listen to this very carefully. Does that mean if something were bad or tragic to happen to her that we should be happy? Or should we hurt for them? I'm not for... I'm not for the Muslims. Do you know that every Muslim that puts on a suicide vest and blows themselves up and hurts and kills people, do you know that that person has a family? Do you know that a mother loses a child just as much as the victims? When's the last time you prayed for that person's family? We live in such a selfish world. Everything's about me. My boss hates me, so I'm going to pray for God to get him out of there. Well, you better thank God he's paid your paycheck all along. Kindness doesn't mean you do whatever you or the hurting person wants. Kindness means you just don't act harshly whether you agree or disagree. Scott, I don't have to agree with you about everything, but I can be kind to you. Yeah, I'm not going to, that's for sure. Brother Mike, you and I don't have to agree on everything, but I can still be kind whether we agree or disagree.
That's right. I love you,
preacher. Amen. Can I tell you something? You don't have to be in total agreement with someone to be kind to someone. You heard me recently say, I helped someone recently that has probably done a lot to hurt me and hurt this church. Whether they did it on purpose or not, doesn't matter. I still helped them. Say why? Because they were doing something that was for the Lord and I was going to help the Lord's work. That doesn't mean I'm going to go have dinner with him once a week. Matter of fact, I probably wouldn't have dinner with him at all. But I would help them. It could be that God wants to use me to restore that so that they don't do that again. Everybody doing all right? And by the way, I'm not patting myself on the back. I am not a great Christian. I have to work at it too. Just so you know, when the call came, I really didn't want to take it. I didn't feel like doing it any more than you feel like doing it. But I decided I would be kind. Kindness is looking at the feelings of another and acting within principle to continue doing right. Let's see here. Wiley, you lost your mama this last year. Brother Roy, you lost your wife. It's hard to believe. It's been 10 months. I remember sitting down at the table with y'all. How heartbroken we were. Brother Roy, you probably didn't agree a whole lot with me. But Brother Roy found out the preacher could be kind. Man, he hadn't missed church since. Amen. A little bit of kindness. I didn't do it to get Brother Roy in church. I wanted to help him. I told him, whatever you need, you let me know. I'll help you. Wiley and Moan left and went on vacation. Left Dad alone by himself. Bunch of reprobates. I called Brother Roy on the phone about every day that they were gone. Just to make sure he was okay. See if he needed anything. Not because I'm a super Christian, just he needed to know somebody cared. Can I tell you something? You don't have to agree with somebody to be kind to them. My favorite thing, my daughter's grinning right now. I love going to the store and finding the cashier that looks the grumpiest and getting in line. It's usually Ellen. I love making it a game. See if I can get that person to smile. Years ago, my daughter and I were in line, and this lady was, pardon this, she was an old crab. Got in line, my daughter says, "You got your hands cut out on this one, Dad." Yep. But it wasn't too long. I got a smile. We walked away. My daughter said, "How do you do that?" I said, "You just got to learn people." You know, just because somebody's having a bad day with somebody else doesn't mean that you have to give them a worse day. Right. Kindness is looking at the feelings of another person. Fellas, if you come home and your wife looks like she's fought World War III and IV, she's not feeling well, it's probably not time to say, "Do you have dinner ready yet?" You ought to have enough sense to look at it and say, best thing to say is, "Anything I can do to help?" It may not be a help, but don't just volunteer. You better find out what they're volunteering for, amen? Because World War V could start real fast. Yeah, you know, sometimes you need to look at somebody else's feelings and say, "Well, bless God, I pushed through it. They should push through it too." Watch out. Kindness is being considerate of how someone other than yourself feels. I can push through a lot more than some people. But that doesn't mean that just because I can, I expect somebody else to. Too many people see life through their own two God-given eyeballs, and that's it. Can I tell you something? I don't expect my wife to keep up with me. I don't expect anybody to keep up with me. My kids call me the Energizer Bunny. I just keep going and going and going and going and going, you know. It's just the way God made me. But I don't look at somebody else and say, "Well, bless God, if I can do it, you can do it." That's not true. Especially a lady. Don't get mad at me, ladies. I don't think that you're lesser people. But God made a man to carry a different kind of load. It doesn't make sense. Yesterday, I was, of course, it was a little slick out yesterday, and my pickup truck, anybody that's got a pickup truck understands this, there's no weight in the back end of a truck. And if it gets wet or the slightest bit slippery, you're just sitting there going for a while. So I have a 2x4 I put across the back of my truck, and I have two 45-pound weights that I put in the back of my truck. And it weights it down to give me a little bit more traction. They're actually barbell weights. They're the steel weights, and they got a hole in them about that big. They're Olympic-type weights. I told my wife, I said, I need you to open the doors because they were out in the shed. I'm going to walk them from the shed all the way out front where my truck's parked. And I said, I'm bringing both of them. She said, how come you just don't make two trips? I said, I said, number one, I don't want to make two trips. Number two, I'm more balanced if I can carry both of them than I can with one. Now, that doesn't make sense to a woman carrying 90 pounds versus 45. But you men know what I'm talking about. You put 45 in each hand and carry it. It's more balanced, and you can, instead of being like this for two trips, you're like this for one trip. It just makes better sense. The only thing I forgot was my gloves and those steel weights and all that cold. Brother Mike, by the time I got through the house and got to the front door, I was looking for a place to fling them things. I thought, I only got about 50 or 60 feet left. I couldn't walk fast enough. My hands were just freezing. I was walking quicker, let me tell you. I got them out there and, man. Now, it didn't make sense to my wife to carry 90 pounds versus 45 pounds twice. It did to me, because I've done it enough times to know, carry them both at one time. Then I come back in and said, you know, the worst part of that was, those things are cold in my hands. She said, well, why didn't you wear gloves? Because I didn't think about it. Now, wait a minute. She wasn't being very kind then. Kindness is being considerate of somebody's feelings other than yourself. Well, I'm hungry. Or as my daughter would say, hangry. Okay? Hungry enough to get angry. You know, if back off, you're not going to die. You got plenty in reserve. You're not going to starve to death anytime soon. Not a person in here in danger of starving to death. You might think you are, but you're not. Kindness is not pushing your agenda or emotions on someone who hurts. There are ladies in this room. You've lost babies. You know what month it is. You know about when it was. And every year since that time, you hurt at that time. May I say something, man? It's real hurt. It's real pain. Yes. Quit stomping on it. Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun here. Did you know just because you push through it doesn't mean somebody else can? And maybe your lack of feeling is the reason you don't hurt like they do. Maybe you need to get some of the emotion. Everybody doing okay? Jesus loves you and so do I. For you to say, well, bless God, I got over that a long time ago. Time for you to get over that. That's not kindness. Sometimes it's better just to respond with quietness and love than to spout off what you're thinking. Did you know just because it passes between your ears doesn't mean it needs to come out your mouth? You better be glad I don't say half the things I think. I'm not kidding. If I ever get to the point where I lose my mental faculties, just lock me in a room where nobody can hear me because there's way too much locked up in there. And if it's unleashed, it shouldn't be heard. You know, sometimes it's better not to respond than to say what you're thinking. Well, I don't want to be guilty of being a hypocrite. No, you'd be guilty of being rude and uncaring and an idiot. Just because you think it doesn't mean you have to say it. My mama taught me a long time ago. There are days ladies don't know how they feel and they can't explain it. My mom said this to me, Brother Mike, when I was a teenager. She said, son, someday you're going to come home. Your wife's going to be sitting on the couch crying. You're going to say what's wrong. She's going to say, I don't know, just believe her. Now, to a teenage boy, makes zero sense at all. After being married 28 and a half years, having a daughter that's 20 years old, and dealing with tens of thousands of ladies, can I say something? That makes all the sense in the world to me. You don't have to tell me how you feel or why. There are just days, okay, what you need? Nothing. Okay. No problem. I've been around enough women to know that. Say, what do they need? Time. That's it. No sense in you complaining about it. It's not going to fix it, not going to change it. No sense in talking about it because you're only going to aggravate it and make it worse. Just accept it and go on. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. I went from preaching to meddling. Kindness never compromises truth or principle to give someone who's hurting what they want or need. Listen to this statement. How can disobeying the Bible and disobeying truth be kindness? Giving needles in a place for someone to go and shoot up heroin in their veins is not kindness. Our government and your tax dollar is paying for buildings all over America for people to go get clean needles and shoot their drugs up and have medically trained people to inject you so that you don't get diseases as quickly. And our tax dollars paying for this. They want to put one in Martinsburg. Well, we got to be kind. We'll have less death. No, you're not. No, you're not. Unlimited welfare to people who are able to work is not kindness. The kindest thing you can do is put a limit on welfare to people that are able to work, get them off their lazy backside, and get them working.
Amen.
Sorry. Best thing to cure America's problems, hard work. Fire everybody in Congress that's not, and let's go forward. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun right now. And by the way, making them and letting them have extra babies to make more money on welfare isn't going to fix anything either. Right. Missing church to help someone is not kindness. Well, someone just had a need and I got to help them. Unless it's a medical emergency and it's in your family, you ought to be in church.
Amen.
Sorry. Well, Uncle Roy is getting his gizzard worked on. And I haven't seen Uncle Roy in 30 years, so I got to go to the hospital and sit with the family while they work on his gizzard. Go to the hospital after church.
Amen.
Everybody doing okay? If you have an Uncle Roy, I wasn't talking about you. This one could smart. Letting children disobey you or disobey God in an effort to be kind and not force them to do right is not kindness. Bless God, they lived under my roof. They did what I said and did what God said, whether they liked it or not. You say, well, that's forced. Yep. Get out on your own. You answer to God for yourself. Past that, you're going to do it, or you're going to find somewhere else to live on your own. I wasn't unkind about it. And I had to get one out of my house because they chose not to. Everybody doing all right? But I wasn't going to let him ruin it for everybody else. Oh, by the way, he's an assistant pastor in Florida now. Twice this week, he's, Dad, I was so stupid. I said, yeah, you were. He said, oh, I just don't get it. I said, but you're, look what God's doing to help you help others not to do it. I said, can't change what was, but don't do it again. He said, oh, don't worry. He said, once was more than enough. So, kindness. Number two, I got to hurry. Verse 6 says, and now the Lord show thee kindness, and I love this, and truth. Truth. You know, tell people the truth about the situation they're in, but give them hope for recovery.
Amen.
everybody look at me for just a second here. Your preacher's not going to lie to you. I'll tell you the reality of it, but I'm not going to be harsh and mean and nasty about it while I do it. I am not about to lie to you. I didn't lie to you, Brother Roy. I didn't lie to you, Brother Wiley, when I said when your mom and when your wife went to heaven, this is going to be hard. I wasn't going to lie to you about it. But I said, we're going to get through this. Amen. We're going to get through it. Sherry, I remember when your brother died. I said, not going to be easy, but we're going to get through this. And we got through it. Do we still hurt? Yes. Do we still miss? Yes. But can I tell you something? Look at everybody got saved in both of those situations. Wow. tell people the truth about the situation they're in, but give them hope to recovery. Let me say this very carefully. Truth does not have to be rude. Too many people think being rude is telling the truth. That's not it. If you're rude with the truth, you're skipping point one, kindness. I can't stop from telling someone that something bad has happened. But I can say it in such a way, in a kind way, that the truth is there and consider their feelings on top of that. I remember when Mung called me saying, something's wrong with Wiley's mom. Then I remember the call when Wiley called me and said, my mom died. Oh, my soul. I had to go to Walmart and tell Mung. It wasn't easy. It wasn't something I wanted to do. But those are things that I have to do. I wasn't rude with it. I didn't walk up and say, well, bless God, your mother-in-law died. Aren't you happy? Who would be happy about that? Now, some of you may. I wouldn't be. You know, God uses truth to comfort us, and strengthen us. That's all, folks. God uses truth to comfort us. Did you know someone can die, but there's a truth called heaven? There's a truth called salvation. Amen. There's the truth of eternity. There's the truth of forgiveness. Wow. It doesn't take the pain away, but at least you know you got hope. When I found out Rick had passed away, I said, praise the Lord, he got saved. He's in heaven, and he's never going to hurt anymore. It didn't take the pain away, but we knew where he was. When Miss Adelia went to heaven, we had the hope of heaven. Amen. I remember when she got saved. I remember baptizing her. Can I tell you something? God is good. Whether you think it or not, God is good. You know, learn to focus on the truth and not the situation. Listen, girls. I remember when I got word that my grandmother passed away. Say, were you sad? Nope. Her battle was over. Now, there's been a couple Saturdays I picked up the phone thinking, I got to call. No, I don't got to call her. Because if I push that button and call her and she answers, I'm in trouble. I don't call her. I miss calling her. But why would I be upset over the fact that she's standing up straight, holding her head up, she's able to eat with her own teeth, she can hear, she can see, she spent her first Christmas with Grandpa in 38 years. How could I get upset over that? Can I tell you something? Learn to rely on the truth and principles, not the emotions and feelings around what's going on. Did you know the fact that heaven is real will never change? Amen. That means no matter what death we face, heaven is real.
That's right.
Doesn't matter what you're going through. If you're saved, your sins are forgiven. Amen. Now, you may face the consequences here on earth, and our bodies are going to face those consequences. But may I say something? When I die, I never face the consequences of my sin. It was cared for at Calvary. Amen. Glory to God. You know, we have to focus on the truth and not the emotion of the situation. Somebody came up to me and said, "Oh, how are you going to deal with the death of your grandmother and the funeral for your grandmother?" Well, I had done two other grandparents. I'd done my wife's grandparent. I've done hundreds and hundreds of funerals. I treat it the same way. They're not there. That's just their shell. And we had a time. Oh, wasn't that hard? No, it was the easiest thing in the world for me. Hardest thing for me was cutting things out of it. Everybody doing all right? Emotions and feelings are situational. Did you know you may not feel the same way about the same thing twice? Let me show you what I mean. How many of you used to like a food and then you got the flu and it went the wrong direction for a while and then you didn't like that food anymore? How many of you have ever had that before? Okay, y'all know what I'm talking about. It's that one thing that you won't eat anymore because you got sick. It probably did not make you sick. There's a chance. But you used to like it. Now even the thought of it turns your stomach. You see, you even change your emotion about it. Everybody doing all right? I know I used a pretty rough situation there. Truth is not our opinion or how we see it. Truth is how God sees it. Too many of us want to be God, and it's all about how I see it. Well, bless God, I know I'm right, and this is what it is. You don't know you're that right. Unless you can pull it out of that book right there, you don't know you're that right. Did you know there are people that are chemically imbalanced that need certain things, and they don't see things right past that? When someone has Alzheimer's or something like dementia or Alzheimer's, there comes a point in time in their life you can't believe anything they say because they don't see it in reality. I hate to tell you that. Everybody doing all right? There comes a point in time, I know people that are bipolar that have to take medications. Well, I just don't believe in that. Okay, but when you deal with somebody that is and see how that helps them because chemically they have issues, you'll understand it. Yes. Whether you see it or not, doesn't matter. I deal with them, I know. I prevented a man from a double murder and a suicide just in the last 2 weeks because he was off his meds and got him on his meds and he's finally thinking right. Literally. That's not figuratively speaking. I mean literally. Well, I just don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. It's the truth. I happen to know a little bit more about people and biology than most. He said, well, I wish... You know, that's why some of the ladies have troubles from time to time. Chemically, things get mixed up. That's part of Genesis chapter 3. Everybody doing okay? The chemicals get imbalanced. Well, and to hear a man complain about it shows how ignorant you are. You can complain all you want. It ain't going to change any of it because they're all that way to some degree or another. And you can't blame it all on that, fellas, just so you know. Everybody doing okay? Man, I'm having fun right now. I got to hurry up. Number three, you're ready for me to finish this one. I got two more points. Number three, verse number 7 says, therefore now let your hands be strengthened. So, first of all, kindness. Second of all, truth. Number three, strengthened by work. Don't stop working when the hard times come. Don't stop doing your schedule when the hard times come. You know what the world tells you? Oh, quit everything, sit there and do nothing and have a pity party and take depression medicine. Can I tell you why you're depressed? Because you're not doing anything. Now, I love you enough to tell you the truth. Don't stop when the hard times come. Keep on working. Work will make you strong. Stopping in depression will make you weak. Now, there are times physically a person needs to stop because there's rest that is necessary for healing. But just because you're going through a tough time doesn't mean You take weeks off. Most companies give you 3 days bereavement leave. That's a day to get there, a day for the funeral, and a day to get back. That's why it's 3 days. I know people that take 3 weeks off. Can I tell you something? That's a good way to run yourself right into depression. Allow your schedule to be your boss when you're not strong enough to be your own boss. Let me say that again. Allow your schedule to be your boss when you're not strong enough to be your own boss. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it since it's the last day of the year and the first day of the new year's tomorrow. Some of you need to learn what a schedule is. The reason your life is chaotic and it's you bounce around like a pinball in a pinball machine or a steel BB in a room is because you have no schedule. You float from one thing to another, you know, ricochet rabbit. Sorry, my cartoon days. Schedule can give you strength. Knowing what time you're going to get up, knowing what time you'll eat, knowing what time you're supposed to be there, and being in those places at those times, knowing what time you'll read your Bible, knowing what time you'll pray, knowing what time you'll get home, knowing all those things, and knowing the schedule. Schedule things out and allow your schedule to carry you through when you're not strong enough to do it on your own. Oh, amen, preacher. That's good preaching. Work makes you strong. Sitting still doing nothing makes you weak. Yes, right. I'll promise you the strongest people are those that move the most. Now, there's a difference in body build strong and work strong.
Yes.
I built my body too. Now, wait a minute. I'll promise you one thing. You take the scrawny old farm boy against the guy that lifts weights, I'll take the scrawny old farm boy.
Every time.
That scrawny old farm boy will eat that other dude's lunch and hand it to him in a sack. He's work strong. He knows how to... The guy that just does nothing but lift weights, he only uses a few amount of muscles and they're not able to do anything except lift weights. That's why... That's why bodybuilders go fat when they quit lifting. Because they don't know how to work. Everybody doing all right? You'll never find a skinny bodybuilder after they're done lifting. Promise you. They don't know how to use those muscles for work. But you take that scrawny little farm boy, give him a 150-pound piece of machinery, he'll pick it up, throw it over his shoulder, and keep on walking. The other dude, he's over there going, well, I got it up, now what? Doesn't know what to do with it. Man, that's good stuff.
Yes.
You may not hurt less by working, but it'll make you strong enough to take it. Do you know staying in a routine and a rhythm and a schedule, it won't take the pain away, but it'll give you enough strength to get through all the pain that you're going through. You hear that? Ladies are not men. And a woman cannot carry the load that a man carries. But they can carry their load. And by the way, man, you can't carry the load they carry. You get pregnant, carry a baby, and hatch that puppy. Yeah, with yourself, and you're going to die, amen? Do you know, I don't expect my wife and my daughter to carry the load I carry. My wife and daughter don't go out and bring in loads and loads and loads of wood and stack the wood for me. That's my job, not theirs. And as soon as they sell my house, I don't have to do it anymore either. Na, 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 na. You know, and bear with me for a moment here, fellas and ladies. Men, if you expect your wife to do the work of a man, that's kind of sodomite mentality.
Yes, sir.
And ladies, if you expect your husband to act like a woman, that's not right either.
Amen.
Twinkle toes, amen. By the way, that's why having women and men compete scares me to death. We brought men down, women up. Well, a woman can do anything a man can do. Doesn't mean she should. And there are some things a woman can do that a man can't do. And there are things a man can do that a woman can't do. Thank God. And by the way, we ought to know which bathroom to use. I'm going to go ahead and say it. You're going to laugh at me, but don't get mad at me because you're going to find out I'm right. But you look on any public washroom, and you got one with breeches and one with a dress. Even the world knew what the dress was supposed to be. And when we put women in breeches, we wonder why nobody knows which one to go into. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not looking at anybody. I have no idea. But I'll promise you the way we dressed has become everybody dresses the same. And we've gendered down everything, even in dress, generations before we ever thought that men would go into women's bathrooms and vice versa. And we would have birth certificates that said to be determined later when they become old enough to decide. Don't get discouraged by not being able to carry more. Carry what God gave you until God gives you more.
Yes.
Brother Stoltz, you know I don't want to carry your load, but if you need help, I will. I got plenty on my plate to carry right now. But may I say this, Brother Roy, if you need help carrying your load, I'll carry your load with you. Brother Larry, if you need help, I'll help you. Now, I don't want to carry the whole thing. By the way, God doesn't want to carry your whole load. Book of Matthew says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. I hear preachers preach all the time. Oh, come bring your burden to the Lord and drop it at the altar and walk away. No, God wants you to bring it to the altar, hook up into the yoke with him, and pull with him. He didn't say bring it to me and let me carry the whole thing. God doesn't want to carry all your load. He wants to help you pull it, but he wants you pulling your load so you're strong enough to help somebody else later. The burden you are in is adding resistance to make you stronger. That's what being valiant is all about. The word valiant means strong warrior. And number next, and I'm done. Verse number 7. Therefore now let your hands be strengthened and be valiant, for your master Saul is dead, and also the house of Judah have anointed me king over them. Follow godly leadership. Follow godly leadership. Tonight, I'm going to make a statement. There's a difference between godly and religious.
Yes, big time.
Religion is man-made. Godly is God-made. No one is strong enough to make it on their own all the way through life. Say, well, I am. You better be glad your mama didn't feel that way. Because the moment you were hatched, you needed somebody to take care of you for years.
Yes.
Or you'd have never made it. You're not strong enough to make it. By the way, once you get born again, you're a baby again. You need somebody to take care of you. Everybody doing all right? We all need advice. Who you choose to get advice from will determine the amount of success or failure you have. It always amazes me. Everybody that knows more than the preacher getting their advice from somebody that never did anything.
Right.
Or failed at it. Could it be that it wasn't the advice that failed? It could have been the person you're talking to that failed? Everybody doing all right? Oh, amen. You're not as strong as you think you are, especially when you're weakened by tragedy. You need the help of a godly leader. When something happens, call me.
Yes.
Let me help you. I'm just going to go ahead and say this. You may have been saved longer than me, but you don't have as much experience going through tragedy as I do. I happen to know a little bit more about it. I've been through tens of thousands of them. And I don't say that arrogantly. I don't say it as though I know everything, because there are many times I'll look at you and say, I don't have a good solution to this. And I'm not really going to be able to fix it, but we can get through this. God gives us godly leadership to give us help in the tragedies. Use me, don't run away from me. I still get advice. I seek good advice from godly people that are going the right direction at the right times to do what I'm doing.
Yes, sir.
I'm getting ready to sell my house. I'm not leaving Martinsburg. Do you know that I sought advice from people that are in the housing market about good timing? Everybody doing all right?
Yes, sir.
I found out optimally I'm about where I need to be, where I'm going to start losing money at one end or the other. So I made the best decision I could make based on good advice. I sought advice from four different sources. And all four of them were in agreement with a little twist here and there from each one with their expertise. But everybody was in agreement at that point in time. And I've put 28 gallons of paint on the inside of my house. I have put new carpet in the entire house. I've put a new roof on. Well, some of you men helped me get this new roof on. I put a new fence up. Somebody said, oh, you're going to get it fixed up. So nice, you never want to sell it. I can't wait to get out of the stupid thing now. I'm so tired of looking at it, I don't care. Huh. And may I say this, you think you know what I'm going to say before you come see me? You might be shocked that you don't know what I'm going to say. And if you say, well, I just already know what he's going to say, then you don't agree with me on what the Bible says. Because I'm going to tell you what God said. I'm not going to give you opinion. I'll tell you what the Word of God says. You may not like what God says, but you're just telling everybody you're going to rebel against truth, not rebel against me. Not rebel against someone else. It amazes me that people who have not helped anyone with life's decisions can judge me and say I don't know how to help people. Now listen to me, the men of Jabesh-Gilead. They had watched their leader die. They'd seen the trauma to their bodies. They took care of those dead bodies that had been desecrated. They buried them. They were hurt. They were disheartened. Now they face new leadership, and how's that going to handle? And David came to them and said, look, let me show you kindness. Let me give you truth. Let me give you godly leadership. And he said, let me strengthen you by giving you some work to do and keep you moving, but you take the time needed to heal. By the way, those men of Jabesh-Gilead followed David the rest of David's time as king. They loved him. They weren't forced to, they wanted to. Because he did those things. I hate to tell you, you're probably not going to get through 2018 without bad news. Probably not going to happen. Probably not going to get through 2018 without a heartache. But may I say this? God gave us a recipe for which we can get through it. It won't take it away. Did you know doing those things didn't bring Saul and Jonathan back? But it did give stability to those that were in that tragedy and help get them through. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Who would say, preacher, somewhere in that sermon was something that I personally needed today. I needed what was in there. Would you raise your hand, please? Oh, my soul. Virtually every hand. You may put them down. I don't know what your need is, but you do. I know the weather has affected our crowd a little bit, but it doesn't affect the Holy Spirit. In a moment, the piano will begin to play. When it does, if you raised your hand, how about you come as far forward and get it right with the Lord. Come get your need met here at the altar. Maybe you need to pray with somebody or just by yourself.